Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers, and welcome to episode, is it 28?
28.
28 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, with the usual cretins, JB there.
Hi, Tim.
And Phil.
Hi, Tim.
And I'm Tim. And I'm going to make this apology straight away. I am not going to be on form in any kind of way because I don't want to just sound
Go on, humble brag.
I just run a marathon. You know how it is.
And he's here like a hero.
Yeah.
Hero is a word used far too often, but in your case, Tim, hero.
I was just rounding some at Busby Way and finishing the Manchester Marathon 5 hours ago.
Wow. Have you eaten? Have you got your calories on board?
Big.
Oh, man, I had from a local pub. They do their proper version of a KFC bucket.
Nice.
Good. It's very good. Right, well, listen, but there's plenty to talk about, not least the Heineken Cup, which, again, only earlier this afternoon, as it is as we record this right now, we finished watching the final quarterfinal in the Heineken Cup. Some absolutely epic games to talk about.
Yeah.
And we're going to look ahead to some Premiership rugby returning at the weekend to come. But before all of that, England maybe has, get this, lads, England maybe has a, I don't know, you can't, he's not going to take the crown, but someone to compete with the Honey Badger, Nick Cummins, for a good bit of banter.
Hmm.
So this is Joe Marler. Now, we have featured Joe Marler before. We have said before he seems like a good crack.
He seems nice.
He's got a bit of chat.
His Twitter feed's quite funny.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't say softy. Just, it seems like quite a good lad.
I certainly wouldn't say softy to his face.
No, absolutely not.
He looks like Zangief. Do you remember Street Fighter? Right, listen. So this is from the game against London Irish a couple of weekends ago, last weekend. And this was a little comment that Joe Marler made to the referee as they were waiting to scrum down about Andrew Small's shoes, his boots, which were white. So Nick Heath has got in touch and got us this. And it's Nick Heath's voice, in fact, that you can hear.
So we're ready to get underway at the stoop then. Our referee is Andrew Small.
Let me just say, that wasn't in the stadium at the stoop, by the way, that noise.
Oh, right.
You know how some people have the old Mexican horn? No, that was just a little close-up of Andrew Small's white boots.
...of his 101st Premiership game.
Yeah. Are you wearing those boots, Rebecca?
Yeah. I paid for mine though.
Did I just overhear Joe Marler say to referee Andrew Small, "Are you wearing those boots for a bet?" How to win the hearts and minds of match officials by Joe Marler. That is absolutely priceless.
Apparently, there was a who was it? John Fashanu used to be captain of Villa, I think.
And Wimbledon.
Good.
He won the FA Cup with Wimbledon when they beat Liverpool way back in the day.
Good, so I am on the right track here. And apparently he used to memorise the name of the wife and kids of all the refs. So like before every game, you're like, how's Jane Nancy? Nancy and Florence, are they doing well? And then you know, he thought he'd get them on side.
It's a good idea.
It's not too bad. We had a Scottish ref. I do one of those posh Scots who have emigrated from up north. And he was reffing a second team game. And the captain that day was, I can't remember, but we've actually got a posh Scot ourselves called Mike Rainey, who said, right, you're captain, just so they can bond.
I used to play under a coach who would, like in the pre-match in the dressing room when the refs come around checking boots and that, he'd be like really, really nice and like slapping him on the back, shaking hands, like, oh, how are you doing? How's it all that? And the second the door would close, he'd be like, right, we all know that ref is an absolute... So can't take any crap, can't mouth off. Can't
we think in Brooklyn Park, every ref hates us. You know what this guy's like.
You're like that Castleford
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a spike.
I think the most famous one of getting a ref on side was the one with Jason Leonard in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And he trots on, that's the ref on the arse, and goes, right, sir, I hear you've been having some trouble, so any problems? I've been around the block a bit. Just ask me and I'll sort them out.
His quote was, because that was in the World Cup final, yeah. when England was...
unbelievable to think that you tap a ref on the bum and have an at it in a World Cup final.
When England was struggling in the scrums or being penalised in the scrums against Australia, and he said, I think the quote was, if you want me to go forward and backwards, I'll do that. I won't go up and down. I won't go side to side. And if you don't want me to push, I won't do. But let's sort this out.
Brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. So I thought I'd share that with you anyway. It's not quite Nick Cummins, but I think of England's current internationals, Joe Marler maybe is staking a claim to be a...
Good effort.
Good luck.
We'll have to think of, I don't know what name he would have, Honey Badger, what animal you would liken him to.
Honey Bear?
Honey Bear. Right, so let's talk Europe then, and let's talk the Heineken Cup quarterfinals. Can you update me? I saw the result of the final one, but I was...
Well,
Did I mention I was out running a marathon? I didn't
see. No, you should mention it.
I didn't see Toulon... Leinster.
Well, I nipped to the bookies and I put a bet on all the Irish teams to lose. All the Irish teams not to win, because that caused a nightmare in the bookmakers when I kept on saying to lose.
Munster to lose.
No, that's the game. Yes,
Munster
to lose. Against to lose. So that caused a nightmare. So all the Irish teams not to win and Clermont to win. And the first game, I was proved horribly wrong. It just shows I know nothing about rugby.
Yeah,
incredible. I think we all backed Toulouse.
We did back Toulouse, but I think JB wrote them off. Whereas I think, Phil, if I remember rightly, we both acknowledged that there's something about the Heineken Cup and Munster and Thomond Park.
Yeah.
Hands up, I know nothing about rugby.
What a performance by Munster. They were
unreal.
Toulouse scored a couple of like good long-range tries, but Munster were on top from start to finish. They completely dominated them in virtually every aspect. In the set piece, scrums and lineups, they were miles better. Their backs looked miles better.
I only saw the first half, but every breakdown, Munster just blowing it up, driving over.
And they lost their captain in like the first 10 minutes as well, Peter O'Mahony, who's like ball carrier and tackler and breakdown specialist.
So actually, what I thought was going to be probably the match of the weekend is a little bit of a washout, actually.
It was still good to watch, but there were obviously much closer matches.
I think Toby Flood will have a big impact on Toulouse because they had no direction at all.
So yeah, that was Munster Toulouse, then the Clermont Leicester game. I feel Leicester, if they'd have stayed in it, stayed a bit closer in that first half, and if they'd have been able to take Moneypuller off, if they'd been able to bring Dan Cole on rather than have to play Moneypuller for the full 80.
I didn't think the scrimmaging was a big problem for them though.
It wasn't, but you could tell Moneypuller was tired. He's carrying around 20 stone for 80 minutes.
He's a big slice.
And he works hard. So,
what's the record now at Clermont? It's just...
I don't know, is it 70-odd games or something?
79
ridiculous.
Games, I think.
Yeah, but that does exclude a game in 2012 against...
Oh, hold on. We're getting a knowledge bomb ready.
They got beat at home by Leinster in the Heineken Cup in 2012, but it wasn't played in the... Whatever it is,
the Michelin or whatever it is.
Yeah, their proper home stadium was played like 200 miles away in Lyon or Nice.
The knowledge bomb.
Sinking.
Knowledge.
I'm sure it's strange, like Michelin either built that stadium for them or the French government built it for them. It's something very, very odd going on.
Probably the French government. They love
interfering in sport.
They love promoting the sport to build spirit of the town, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Now, let's talk about Ulster. A farce.
Go on.
Okay, so anyone who watched it would know that Jared Payne, 4.5 minutes in, gets flattened in a collision with Alex Goode. They both fall to the ground, and it results in Jared Payne getting a red. This is... one of those examples of referees ruining the game. It completely ruined it. Not only was it not a red card, I would struggle to say it's a yellow card. And I perhaps would say, if it wasn't a penalty, I could even take that. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. If you watch Jared Payne, he is watching the ball until the time he sees Goode jumping actually in front of him. So he only sees Good very, very last minute. Now, before you say anything, if that ball had dropped down...
Can you sense that we're going to disagree slightly, maybe? Yeah,
if the ball had dropped down, right, and Good hadn't got the ball, and in fact Payne had got the ball, would Payne still be sent off? The actual intent and the actions would all still be exactly the same.
What do you think, Tim?
What I will say in your defence, JB, is when you watch it in real speed, full speed, you realise Jarrod Payne, he's making an effort to get to the ball.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
At the point Alex Good jumps, he actually can't do anything to get out of the way.
No.
So I think the red card was purely because Alex Good was sufficiently injured to leave the field. I don't think for a second it would have been a red card.
But that shouldn't
Alex
matter.
Good
I mean, if
up.
If he tackles around, I don't know, around his legs and his knees buckle, he's not getting red.
No, I think it does.
Card.
I think it does matter. There is a. I think it does matter because that is in fact part of the sort of referee's directive. They're told to consider the consequence of the foul play.
You're right. If he'd have bounced up, it would have been a penalty. And
so are you incentivising players
card.
To stay down?
No.
Why not? Why is it not incentive for me to roll around on the floor in a Heineken Cup quarterfinal just to get the other guy sent off?
But it's only if there is sufficient injury to make them leave the field and not come back.
But, okay, but so what if I just say, you know...
One of the things you mentioned there is intent. And you mentioned it a couple of times, and a lot of people on Twitter, mainly Ulster fans, have been mentioning there's no intent, not malicious. But that has absolutely nothing to do with it.
It has everything to do with
it. No,
it
doesn't.
Why?
Because what? So you're going to make it subjective, the referee's subjective opinion on someone's intent. It's not about that. That's not in the rules, and it shouldn't be, because it makes everything subjective. It has to be on recklessness and dangerousness.
Right.
And that was, because he was arriving second, because Good was in the air, and because he didn't check his run, didn't do anything, he went full speed into a man in the air when he was second in that.
But he didn't know the man was in the air. He was just running in a straight
line.
No,
you know, I've been in that situation before. You know when you're second to the
you
ball.
You can actually see Payne look up. And so he's watching the ball, and then you can see when Good comes into his line of sight and he changes his head and goes, oh dear. This is fairly bad.
Well, but what you got to remember, the potential consequences are really, really severe.
Yeah.
It's like someone with a high tackle. There may be absolutely no intent, but you could break someone's jaw.
Oh, completely.
Knock out. And I see it as very little difference between the two. And yeah. if you high tackle someone, they bounce back up and run off.
But like, I don't
penalty,
think...
maybe a yellow card. If you high tackle someone, their jaw gets fractured and they have to leave the field, well, then probably your red card is where it's going to be.
What if you tackle low and blow out someone's knee?
Yeah, but that's not an illegal act. There's
we're going to make it illegal.
Rugby is risky enough already because things like that do happen. So if you're breaking the rules, then you've got to be prepared to take the consequences.
Here's where I think it's going, right? I think it's going in the way that the argument the ref would make is that Jarrod Payne should be aware of what Alex Good is doing.
And he would be. In that situation, you know when you're going to be second best.
Jarrod Payne did what he did because he was fully committed to catching a ball, not because he's fully committed to running into Alex Good. Completely different.
With everything I said, I do think that the red card was okay, but I wouldn't have been unhappy to see a yellow card.
But they've ruined an entire Heineken Cup quarter final.
It's not about ruining them.
It's completely about that.
No, the ref cannot consider that. What happens if Alex Good's career is ruined? Would you still say, oh no, the ref's got to keep him on the field to keep the game fair? That's a ludicrous argument.
No, it's not. The law says no tackling in the air. It wasn't a tackle.
All right, then it was a no-arm tackle.
Yeah.
It wasn't a tackle. They just ran into each other.
Combining actually, a no-arm tackle.
Actually,
with
today,
it was a shoulder barge when it was in the air.
In the Leinster-Toulon game, went in for a ball, fair contest. And they
went up.
Yeah, one's running
on the
floor.
If Jarrod Payne was in the air...
Sorry, they were competing for the ball. Jarrod Payne was competing for the ball.
If Jarrod Payne was in the air, it would have been...
If he hadn't have seen Good, at that point, he would have then been elevating to get the ball. But he had seen Good.
Hold on. Just calm
not
down.
Red.
Every player has to be able to take responsibility for what they do to fellow players. And
this is the point I'm trying to make
now. Now, when they do something within the laws of the game, then, well, you know what? It happens, and that's the game rugby is. When it's not within the laws of the game, well, then there has to be consequences.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the most contentious point about this is what Jarrod Payne did, I believe, is in the rules of the game. He was challenging for a ball.
Anyway, it was. You're arguing against virtually every single rugby pundit, including...
No, on Five Live, they were all outraged. All outraged.
All the Ulster fans?
No, the commentators.
At what, that it was a red rather than a yellow?
Well, a lot of them are saying it's just a penalty. From what I heard on the radio, a lot of them are saying it was just a penalty.
Everything I've read on Twitter and the commentators at the time were all completely opposed to that. Most people were instant red, looking at Greenwood, Austin Healey, Dawson, Ben Kay, people like that, like experienced rugby players, rugby commentators. They were all saying...
But I can't see what he's done to warrant... He's not throwing a punch. It's not deliberate. There's none of these things.
Just talking facts rather than what he meant, what he intended. What he did...
What did he do in your eyes?
He did, he ran into a player who was airborne catching a ball and caused him to land in a dangerous, potentially very dangerous way.
How about this, right? What if Jarrod
Payne... Are they not facts?
They are facts. They are the facts.
But how about this, right?
So you're trying to judge his intention.
So those facts remain the same. How about this? What if Alex Goode elevated to catch the ball? Jarrod Payne ended up with the ball and then Alex Goode classes into Jarrod Payne. Is that a penalty the other way? Is it a case of where the ball is?
Probably, yeah. If Jarrod Payne catches it, then his judgment was better than Alex Goode's.
Yeah.
Well, just let them compete. Let the boys play. Different sport, but similar rules and similar consequences. American football, they've now banned entirely head-to-head contact, leading with the helmet, all the things which might cause concussions. But the general consensus among the players is... Oh, sorry, they've also banned shots to the knees at certain angles, but I couldn't tell you the exact rule. However, the general consensus of the players is they'd rather have a shot to the head and be out for a week than take a blow to the knee and be out forever, which is quite interesting.
And what's the American football law with like wide receivers in the air catching a ball?
With American footballers, the actual law is the receiver, if has caught the ball, has to be allowed to land and make a footballing move before you tackle him, right? But actually, if they're in the air together, there isn't a rule. That's where we're at
with Jarrod Payne and Alex Goode, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, no,
Jarrod Payne wasn't in the air. Alex Goode was.
Do you know what?
He caught the ball.
Jarrod Payne's biggest mistake, right, was not to jump for that ball. Because if they both jump for it, no one would say anything. And in my mind...
If they both jump for it, Alex Goode wouldn't have landed.
Yeah, he wouldn't have landed onto his head.
Was he gladiators? Yeah.
JB, if you ever want a post-playing career in rugby, can you be a public school rugby master rather than a referee?
Oh.
Please.
Christ.
You fit in much better there.
It's awful. Anyway, so...
Probably not going to agree to disagree on that one, but what do you reckon? Is JB bonkers or has he got a point? At Rugby Podcast on Twitter.
Absolutely got a point. Anyway, so then the game. Three Saracens tries.
Yeah.
Which I'm not certain, but I think it'll all be prevented with a fullback being there.
I'd agree.
Would you say that?
Yeah.
So the...
Chris Ashton.
So the Chris Ashton try to start with, when he kind of S-shapes around everyone.
Which very good finish.
Lovely finish.
Really good finish.
But a fullback would have stopped that.
Exactly. The crossfield kick, I mean, it might have still come off, but, you know, you might have your fullback there, you know, wing might be across. And the Moritz Both one was just a straightforward overlap.
Yeah,
so.
Just lack of numbers.
What did the Ulster coach say after the match?
I saw the Johan Muller interview, the captain second row. He was obviously a bit upset about the decision, but he was quite well media trained, and he said he would leave it up to the referee to make those decisions and that kind of thing. But you could tell he was a bit aggrieved. Saracens did a really good job of throwing that away, because they were in the best position. They scored three tries. Owen Farrell missed.
Rory Best went off.
Half-dozen kicks. Yeah.
Does anyone understand the Colts?
Ruben Pienaar was clearly injured.
Yeah.
He couldn't pass off onside, could he?
Yeah.
He looked in actual pain every time he passed.
Nick Williams was obviously, he went off, he was carrying an injury. So
nice to see Tommy Bow back and playing well.
Well, every time I watch Tommy Bow, he's a really good operator. Regardless of the reasons for the sending off, if they'd have had 15 men, they would have been comfortable winners
for that game. I think so. Sharp Britt's sort of like a world beater. He really did. A world-beating centre. Maybe not a hooker, but his feet are something else.
He's superb. And Billy Vunipola, because he's not played for 6 weeks, he played really, really
well. I realised Billy Bunipola was so big. This thing's 21 stone. That's not right, is it?
Yeah, that's the way I've kind of always seen.
His shape has changed. He's got a bit more of a V about his torso than last season.
He used to be...
have some love handles.
Wider hips than...
Do you think if you're a fan of Saracens, you could sing... the name Billy Bunipola to the tune of the Macarena.
Billy Bunipola.
Billy Bunipola. And then you can go back and go Maca Bunipola.
Oh, nice.
I thought that in the car.
Let's just mention that before we move on. Let's mention the red card one more time. And we know where JB stands. Let's see what our old favourite Castleford commentator. Whether he agreed with JB or disagreed, this is what he commentated when that event happened.
Oh, what about that? Send him off! Send the dirty guys off!
He's talking about good for diving, that's what he's doing.
That were diabolical! Get him walking!
Yeah, that'd be the right answer, yellow card. The only good thing to come out of that whole thing is actually Alex Good is okay. But other than that, what a farce. So, anyway.
One more game to talk about.
Yep, Toulon.
Toulon Leinster,
or as I call it, Dropfest 2014.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to help me out with this one because I missed it because I was running a marathon. But anyway, go on.
What? When?
Oh, I did earlier today. Did I not mention it?
No.
Oh, go on.
Have you got some like circus music, Tim? Like
is that Ben? No, it's not. No, Benny Hill music. That's
no circus music.
Go on then. Tell me about Toulon Leinster.
Just. Right, so do you know when you unwrap a brand new match ball and it sticks to your hands at almost any angle?
But yeah.
Well, they had no doubt a brand new match ball.
It's harder to drop than it is to catch it.
And they're in beautiful, sunny south of France. And for the, I don't know, it went from the sublime to the ridiculous pretty quickly. The intensity was ferocious. Some of the carries were ferocious. But then they would have six or seven drops back to back to back.
Yeah.
It was strange.
The first 20 minutes. Toulon got in some brilliant positions with some great running, great breaks, great hands, and then the last 5 metres they just drop it inexplicably, and it happened not just once, like over and over again. And then Leinster did a job at replicating it. They got some good field position, created an opportunity, and then dropped it.
The most infuriating ones is, oh, I'll drop it to you, and then if you could drop it straight back, that would be great, and we'll go back and scrimmage. And they just
of course, if your idea of a law change, no knock-ons. Yeah. Just
well,
on.
I tell you what
that,
a game it would
that,
have been.
What a game it would have been. Woo! Incredible. We would have been talking about the greatest game of all time had there been no knock-ons in that.
Yeah, it was two teams who are exactly as advertised. So Leinster are a very, very slick, well-oiled operation. And you just see by the way that they play that they're very comfortable. Toulon are a bunch of monstrous superstars. And, you know, the way they carry the ball, you had Bruce Earle. Dylan, Stephen Armitage is a beast at eight.
Yeah, revelation.
Yeah, if you think of all the players that they have available and he gets a nod at eight, quite incredible. Enough circus music, though.
Because there were some, and Toulon probably deservedly came out on top.
Is there a cuter name in all of sport than Xavier Chocky? It's a very cute name. Someone texts back to me... saying that there was one cuter and it was in like Patrick Bambi. I can't find. I don't know if that's a joke or not.
Pat Bambi.
Anyway, the two semi-finals are going to be absolutely.
What's the draw?
Monstrous.
Claremont play Saracens at Twickenham.
That could go either way. That one.
And Toulon play Munster. I'm not sure where it'll be. I'd fancy the way that Saracens played. I'd fancy Claremont any day.
No. They weren't that convincing against Leicester.
Leicester are a very, very good team.
But Saracens are better than Leicester, would you say?
No. I'd say Leicester are better than Saracens. At the moment, I know they've had a really tough time this season with injuries, so the league table doesn't reflect that. But I would say Leicester.
Can I just mention with Leicester? I just need to make a message to Jordan Crane. Jordan?
Quit Rugby.
Good player. Jordan, talented player.
What? Are you watching the same guy?
No, wait. Jordan Crane... You're a talented guy, right? But you truck it up. You do not do swan dives a la Chris Ashton when you score a try. It's not on. It doesn't look good. It's not clever.
Oh, it's not for forwards.
Not for forwards.
The last forward to do that was Leguizamon.
Leguizamon. Just a note to Chris Ashton, who swan dived in the corner. There was no need to swan dive. And Owen Farrell missed.
Sorry, Ash splashed.
Oh, that's... yeah. I thought he said... never mind what I thought he said. But what was he doing? Fowles missed, like... He got 1 in 5 or 1 in 6.
Yeah.
And he's putting him in the corner. Well done. I hope the ash splash was worth it.
Right, so we're going to move on. We're going to talk Hamlin Challenge Cup. It won't be as long a conversation as wasn't as much...
There's no sending offs, were there?
No, fortunately.
Good.
So none of that to decide. We're going to preview the Premiership. But something else that's back, as well as Heineken Cup, is Game of Thrones, Season 4. Now,
yes.
Now, me and Phil are bang into this. It was actually Phil that told me I had to watch this. So
Jay, I think Jay might be the one who got me into it.
Yes,
oh,
I did.
So you have watched it as well?
Yeah, it's been disingenuous. I've also read all the books as well, which is quite embarrassing.
Have you?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't tell me what happens in season 4. But it's a show, it's a bit of a phenomenon, loads of people are into it, and we had a little bit of a conversation one time, and we thought we might bring it to the podcast. Now, this is Tim interrupting the podcast. I'm doing this after the podcast has been recorded, just to say that what you're about to hear features JB gratuitously giving away Game of Thrones spoilers. So if you're up to date or you don't care about Game of Thrones at all and finding out spoilers, then listen on. Otherwise, what you need to do is jump to 30 minutes and 45 seconds and then you will be free of any spoilers taking you to the end of season 3. Right, you've been warned. Now you can listen on. Some characters in Game of Thrones have got
amazing... Ned Stark dies.
Potential. I've got... He's joking. I've got potentially amazing careers in rugby.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a few who would fit right in.
Ned Stark, loose head.
Yep. He would work. That would work.
So imagine Gregor Clegane. Or Clegane.
Clegane.
The mountain in the second row.
He's
described as the tallest man in Westeros, nearly 8 feet tall and heavily muscled.
If Victor Matfield had a very ugly brother, twin brother, or no, whatever, you know what I mean? It's like he's got a Victor Matfield thing
like
about
Bucky's
him.
Bofa? Hang on. You never see the mountain's face. You'd never know.
You do.
Oh, you
yeah,
do?
You
yeah,
do.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But he doesn't have any hair.
Oh, no, who am I talking about?
Sander Clegane.
So actually, it would work, because Matfield's got the hair, and Bota is like a big brute.
Love
there
it.
You go.
Love
Gregor Clegane is... Have you ever seen Honey, I Blew Up the Kid? Blew Up the Baby.
Oh, Christ, no.
Where they take a ray gun and enlarge a baby so he's like 50 feet tall.
Makes sense.
If you did that to Martin Bayfield, that's what Gregor Clegane is like.
I reckon you would have an outstanding tight end. There's probably a couple of contenders to tight end prop, but yeah. Hodor.
Hodor, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hodor, Robert Baratheon in his...
Robert Baratheon.
Hodor is a massive mute who only says the word Hodor. So he's sufficiently stupid as well.
It reminds me a little bit of the Harlequin second row, Garrick, back in the day. Do you remember Garrick Morgan?
Don't remember that.
Oh, what? Monstrous man.
He looks like, right, Hodor, this big... mute would looks like he would be the sort of guy, he would definitely be Welsh and wear a forearm guard.
Without yes,
a doubt.
The real heavy set.
Yeah. Doesn't remind me of anyone off the bat, but I can see where you're coming from.
I reckon that is it Rosie, the redhead wench? The one with one that they always show completely unnecessarily
necessarily naked.
Is it Rosie? I reckon she would be a fallback because extremely experienced at gathering balls.
Right, in the same vein, could have Cersei Lannister on the wing.
Go on.
Because she can really open her legs.
She doesn't do it that often. Jamie Lannister's number 8 because he has his awesome handoff.
Spoiler alert.
Terrible.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, he loses a hand if he was interested. So, back on tonight, but not to.
Oh, obviously, Tyrion, scrum half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little dwarf man.
Definitely. I was thinking who'd play 10, and I was thinking a lot of the Stark lads. looked like they could play 10. But
too honest.
Well, not just too stupid. Like their decision-making is absolutely woeful.
It is, isn't it? Who would play 10? The problem with Game of Thrones is you've got loads of sixes, a couple of props, a few second rows. Mm. And then after that, it's very hard to fill the halfbacks.
Yeah.
Very hard. Littlefinger, there's your fly half.
Oh, yeah, he does actually. Yeah.
He doesn't die. So
Tywin Lannister is the rich owner.
Mm. Yes.
Like the Toulon or Racine Metro owner or Saracen's owner.
Bougelade or whatever it is, yeah. It's good. What I'd say is if JB spoiled anything for you, we apologise, but get watching it.
Yeah.
Get watching it.
Yeah.
So we can talk about it and you'll actually know what we're talking about if you don't watch it.
So yeah, apologies to anyone who's...
Yeah, so next week we'll be ruining Breaking Bad, so make sure you listen to that.
What's that? There must be an acceptable time period when actually you can just talk freely about Breaking Bad.
I think a week.
No. A two-year cut-off.
Absolutely not.
If you haven't
right?
watched
it's
it,
it's the equivalent
after
of you saying,
years,
don't
done.
Tell me the result of last year's Heineken Cup because I have it on my Sky Plus box. Not having it. I think you've got at most 2 months.
No.
2 months.
I see a 6 month window because it is a big commitment to start a box set. You might be halfway through another one.
Well, watch it in real time. Go get Sky Atlantic and watch it in real time. Or if you're really into it, DVR it and then you can see it whenever. I say two months.
No, well, box set normally comes out like 6 months afterwards, and then a few months to buy the box set and watch it. So yeah, between 6 months and a year, I think you have to. Anything more than that is a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that would be a good threshold. But I've just thought of another Game of Thrones who our 10 could be. I reckon, what's his name? The guy who's just got himself in the friend zone with Daenerys Targaryen.
Oh, Jorah Mormont.
Jorah Mormont. I can imagine him as a 10, like a wily old character.
Great
like in
knight.
The Johnny
great
yeah, and, he's a great knight. In the Johnny Wilkinson kind of mould.
You could have
a veteran. Carl Drogo would be our number 8.
Yeah, Drogo.
Yes.
Oh, no, Jamie Lannister would have got number 8. He'd be another 6.
Yeah,
six.
He could be another
or
6.
Or like a left winger or something, like a monster.
Really upsetting when Carl Drogo dies. and to die in such a way, like such a pathetic end for a great warrior.
It is so
an
upsetting.
An infection!
It is so upsetting because you're like, when she's...
Like, we've got to stop talking about Game of Thrones,
sorry.
People want to listen...
We'll talk about it in the car on the way back, Jay.
Yep.
Right, just to let you know, if you're just rejoining the podcast, having skipped the last little while, there will be no more Game of Thrones spoilers. You're safe. Is there anything to talk about with Hamlin Challenge Cup?
Yes.
Go on then.
Gavin Henson, man of the match. Thank you very much. They nilled Breve, I think, or if they didn't, they
no,
came very
No, 7.
Close.
Breve scored right at the end.
38-7, was it?
39-7, yeah.
Boom.
Northampton dominated Sale Sharks.
I was there at that game.
Interesting game, that one, I thought.
Sale. See, that's just an example of what you're talking about with the squad. When Sale make 5 or 6 changes, their team is just a totally different team. When you take out Braid, Seymour, Cipriani, Leota, Tuitupu, I mean...
Even Cobolas.
Cobolas at tight end, yeah.
They missed him.
Like, Henry Thomas got another yellow card.
He's an international.
Let's just talk a second about this season's transfers for next year and how many clubs are probably, as Phil says, looking for the Tippex. Henry Thomas, are you sure, Bath? Is this exactly what you want?
No, I stand by it. I've watched him for 3 or 4 years. The guy is special. And actually, I reckon that Neil Hatley, is it, the forwards coach at Bath?
Yep.
I think he's.
I think he'll do a job with him.
He was in an understrength pack, so I think to put the blame solely on him would be.
But Cobolash comes in and dominates people.
Yeah, he's
a
good player.
Absolutely dominates people.
I have taken the mick out of Cobolash in the very early episodes of the podcast because I'm telling you, it's not until about 2 months into this season that he's got better. And in previous seasons, I've not thought very much of him at all.
Yeah, he looks like the player that Bath actually wanted rather than Henry Thomas.
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything in the internationals. He's good, probably cheap.
Well, I was just going to say because tight heads are like a bit of a rarity. They're valuable assets.
Yeah,
he must be like his stock has really risen this season, and considering he's a Moldovan international,
big money.
It's crazy.
Harlequins, that was the result of the tie, though, of the round.
I saw
it?
That game.
In
it was
Paris.
Horrendously boring. Like, I thought it was going to be a good game, and I settled down to watch it, and it just, nothing really happened.
29-6, though.
Away.
Yeah, I think it was weird, really, because the Harlequins team, which when you think of Harlequins, you think of all the champagne rugby. I know that's a cliche, but that actually is the reality of the situation at the moment with what they have. Well, they picked Jordan Turner-Hall and they picked Tim Molnar. So you have one of those two, but you have two of them. It's like having two kind of Mike Tyndalls boshing up.
Well, we're recording this and it's Sunday evening and the last game of the match. It's quite unusual to have a kickoff at 7 p.m. on a Sunday.
It's cool though, isn't it? I quite like it.
Yeah, I quite like it. But Wasps are currently, half-time, 13-3 up. We're not going to know what the result is by the
against
end of the
who?
Podcast.
Against Gloucester.
Oh, God, yeah.
Gloucester got their full-strength team out. Mm. So, yeah, both teams got their full-strength team out looking at the lineup. So, yeah, it looks like Wasps are going to come out on top in that one unless Gloucester turn it round. So the semi-finals for that are Harlequins at Northampton, and it looks like London Wasps are going to be the other team against Bath. So you probably have to say Bath-Northampton final.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd say that, which would be a very good final.
Henson got man of the match. I mentioned that. Big Gav, man of the match. Starting his comeback. Good and honest. Interestingly, when George Ford came off, Kyle Eastman went to 10.
So that's the Hamlin Challenge Cup. We'll be talking about this weekend's Premiership matches. But right now, firstly, I suppose we should say congratulations to Longi Mulipola, who has had or is having...
They're having
twins with, and I didn't realise this until Phil, you brought it to our attention, with the sister of former Leicester teammate Martin Castrogiovanni.
Yeah.
So you have got
twin boys.
Twin boys.
Wow. Leicester should sign them up as soon as they're born, just in case, a nominal fee.
No. I was thinking this. So she's obviously Argentinian Italian. He's Samoan, but they're currently living in England. So let's.
Born in England.
Yeah. So let's keep it like that. Let's get these boys playing for England. Because what a pair of bruisers they'll be.
Wow.
With
Castrogiovanni's sister. Yeah. She's got to have some good stock.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like someone's gone, let's breed the best possible props we can for the future.
Yeah.
Twin boys.
Yeah.
Let's breed them. It's almost like Leicester have started their own breeding program.
Very popular in Germany about late 1930s, the eugenics programs there. And yeah, it obviously worked well.
The brilliant thing about this is that those two boys will grow up, one playing loose-head and one playing tight-head.
Unless they fight over one side or the other. Well, you know, Daddy plays one side and what does Castro play?
Daddy plays both sides.
Yeah,
he's a loose head that was playing. He was playing at tight head yesterday. That's not his.
Well, you're right.
Yeah, I read an interview with him last week, and he was playing number 8 in New Zealand in Hawke's Bay, and got told he lost a stone to be able to play number 8, and then lost another stone when he came to Leicester to play prop because he was still too heavy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh,
so looking at him now, he was 2 stone heavier and playing number 8.
Yeah.
He has got an amazing work rate, hasn't he?
He gets
around.
But yeah, so who would you have if you could breed two players?
I thought of Stringer and Backes Botha. So he can catch on.
Right, I don't know.
He'll be a normal sized man.
My sex education at school wasn't the best.
Line out and then pass it.
My sex education wasn't the school at the best. But how does Backes Botha and Peter Stringer? How are they going to breed?
Well, they're one of the sisters. I don't know.
Yeah, the way you look at it, if there's the average children are 2.4.
Yeah.
So
let's just assume everyone has an available female.
Well, you've got to assume there's a good chance that one of the two has an available female.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So they are. Backes Stringer, I think, would be an incredible specimen.
I reckon for a pure physical back row specimen, PSB, some Maggie Alfonsi should hop into
that. Oh, so you're doing the actual female.
The actual female, yeah.
Oh, I see.
That would be. Now, I was considering PSBs because what a specimen. Yeah. Like, he is.
Stats-wise,
you need to marry
just
PSBs,
phenomenal.
Well, someone with good hands.
Well, no, what you need to do, because he is faster, stronger than virtually anyone.
He's faster and stronger than most chimpanzees.
And more injury prone.
But yeah, the two things he has going against him are injury prone, and he's not mentally as tough as somebody. He's not a psychopath. He doesn't go in there.
So who are you thinking? Carol Vorderman?
So I'm thinking with Jacques Berger.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. What have you done?
Imagine the the potential physical specimen of PSBs with the mental aspect of Jacques Berger.
He wouldn't be as pretty, though, would they, that kid? Because, after they've
Who cares
after they've
when the whole world is your minion?
Yeah. that's special. That
you'd own everything that you looked at.
Mm.
See, I think looking over the last sort of 10, 12 years, one of the most underrated players in England has been Nick Easter. Like, skills-wise, offloads, his actual raw abilities are superb, but he's lacked a bit of gas. So
yeah.
Mrs. Ungwenya and Nick Easter need to hop into bed.
Yeah, or Mrs. Isles, Carlin Isles.
Carlin Isles' sister.
Yeah.
That's interesting. See?
Yes. Because that would plug that gap, because I think it's actually been his pace and his lack of dynamism that's actually made people think he's not as good as he is. And I think Nick Easter's been... He still is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite
at the age of 35.
Yeah, because see, I look at the physical prowess of someone like Andy Powell and think if only he... You know, because he likes to ball carry. And he's not really a natural forward, but he doesn't really have the game management or the skills to play in the backs. What if we merged Andy Powell with Andy Goode? What a combo.
The boy would like a beer, though.
The boy would love a beer. He'd love his food, love his beer, but he'd be an incredible specimen. And game management.
Wow. Wesley Fofana. Incredibly skillful, elusive runner.
Agreed.
All around sensational. Perhaps, arguably, a little bit small to be a truly world-class back. Particularly when you look at the likes of Jamie Roberts and Ma Nonu and Tuolagi, who are all like 4 stone upwards. Heavier than him. So yeah, breed him with someone like Ollie Cohn. Someone who's like 6'8", 6'9", 21 stone.
Craig Crennel.
Yeah. Craig, perfect. Because he has no rugby playing ability whatsoever. But he has all of the attributes. Couldn't get any better.
Well, I think, so Danny Cipriani, he got in the England team aged 19. Had the world at his feet. Everyone thought he was going to be the England 10 for years and years. He's been overtaken by Owen Farrell and George Ford, who, as well as having the game management and kicking ability, also can put their shoulder in and do a shift. And you could maybe say Charlie Hodgson needed this as well back in the day, but someone with just incredible defence that would plug that gap. If Brian Lima, you have a sister, the chiropractor, and Cipriani, he wouldn't mind putting it about. He likes putting it about.
That is very true.
Give him a few Malibu and Cokes, Malibu and Pineapple.
A Nesquik.
And he'll...
Cheers. Nesquik chocolate, Malibu and Pineapple.
You're right, you are quite girly.
That's quite a girly drink.
There you go.
An awful interview. That's the worst feature ever to hit the airwaves.
Any more breeding? Brian O'Driscoll, one of the most phenomenal players ever. But if he'd have been a stone bigger and been able to keep his pace, I think you would have had the greatest player of all time. So Brian O'Lomu.
Wow.
Well, that would also...
Or Jonah O'Driscoll.
Yes.
Well, Brian O'Lomu... would also mean he'd be a New Zealander, or potentially New Zealander, play for and win a World Cup.
Yes.
Something that's eluded
something a player of his calibre deserves.
I want to get all the ideas which we've just come up with now and maybe do like a fighting tournament and see who wins. Straightforward fighting. Right, we're done on that.
At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, have you got a suggestion? Who would you like to breed? What rugby players would create? Well, so basically, it's how could you cover up the maybe only failing of an otherwise amazing player by breeding them with someone else who sort of covers that element? That'd be brilliant. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, please. Right, should we talk about the weekend's rugby?
Let's do it.
What's going on?
Premiership, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. And it's getting really tasty because there's 4 rounds of games left. So Worcester have really got to win again if they're to have any chance. And then it's just a race for the top 6 and the top 4. And it starts on Friday night with that tasty game. And whoever loses this game is out of any chance of having a top 4, I would have thought. Sale against Harlequins at the AJ Bell Stadium in Salford.
Going with Quins? Sale. How could I go?
Yeah. You reckon even after Harlequins' superb performance on the road the weekend just gone?
I felt the Harlequins team that you put out was either there because they were resting people or because of injuries. And I'm pretty sure the sales team, and some of them wrong, Tim, they put out was basically backups.
Yeah,
it wasn't a first choice sales team, which is interesting because we said last week that if we were Steve Diamond,
we would have gone for it. Did I say I wouldn't go for it?
Yeah, maybe me and Tim said we'd go for it.
I'm disappointed
me too.
In Steve Diamond for not going for it because it was on a... the other thing is, they had 8 days after the game because it was on a Thursday night and they had until this Friday to recover. That's 8 days. I mean, you can patch up some bodies. I know that they have had some big results and big matches recently, but come on, five games of the season.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a bit disappointed. So you don't think that Harlequins will be able to replicate the form they showed against Stad?
I don't think it's true form. I mean, it wasn't their full team and it wasn't Harlequins' full team. And I don't think the team that Harlequins took to Stad could beat Sale. I'm not entirely sure Harlequins' full first team will be able to beat Sale.
Type 5 of Harlequins is a bit lightweight and inexperienced.
I don't know. I can't. It's hard to call this one.
I quite fancy Sale. Yeah. They're better positioned in the league. They're at home. So better positioned in the league, so they've got a bit more to play for. Like, if they win this, they genuinely are on the hunt for the
top four.
Here's
the other thing as well. I don't think anyone has a more stifling style than Sale. I mean, and Harlequins are very susceptible to that. Their pack isn't as heavyweight as Northampton's or... who's the other one? Certainly not Bath's.
Any of the top four. Their pack. If Harlequins do get into the top four... they'll lose to any of those other teams.
It's Sale's game to lose.
I fancy Sale.
Yeah,
teams.
I do.
Next game is on Saturday and Leicester against London Wasps.
Leicester.
Yeah. I think Leicester might take the opportunity to rest one or two of their boys, but...
won't matter.
Yeah, I think they've got enough. They've got enough strength in depth.
Oh, by the way, what an amazing find Blaine Scully was. He had a fantastic game. To come from local... USA Rugby and the Eagles straight into, and then playing that sort of a cauldron and play as well as he did.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Really, really good. Really impressive.
So I think we're all saying Leicester. I think even probably most London Wasps fans will probably say Leicester.
Hmm. Yeah. I think Leicester will rest a couple of players. Wasps will have a good go, but Leicester will win that.
Now, this is a tasty one. Worcester, Exeter.
Yeah. Now, Exeter's form has not been great. I know they won the LV Cup, but besides that, they've not been playing particularly well in the league at all. And Worcester, after their win last week, or 2 weeks ago...
yes, this would be bad.
And if they win and Newcastle lose away at London Irish, they'll be within 4 or 5 points, so they'll only be within one win of catching Newcastle. So
it'd be an incredible escape.
It would be, but I almost think I'm going to... right, yeah, I think I'm going to say Worcester to win this one. For the first time this season, I'm actually going to back Worcester.
I just think Exeter are a prideful bunch and they're not going to want to go down against anyone, particularly not Worcester.
I think Exeter, I think they'll be able to shut Worcester out.
Gloucester or Bath. That's one at 3:15 on BT Sport on Saturday.
Bath have got too much to lose, haven't they? Although this fixture does bring out the best in Gloucester, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sale are going to win a playoff place. Bath are going to have to start doing some more losing.
That's true. And if Sale do win and Bath do lose, then there'll be, a point in it either way, depending on the bonus points.
Exactly.
And then two Sunday games.
Yeah.
Big game. 2 p.m. on Sunday. Saracens, Northampton.
Oh, love it.
Here we go. Boom, 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 boom.
So 2 weeks ago, Saracens usurped Northampton at the head of the table.
Yep.
And Northampton, so they lost at Sale, they lost at Leicester. So they lost two league games on the bounce.
Can I just say, I love Phil Dowson. So I do the match announcing at Sale Sharks. So I'm kind of there. Now, you know when they have the guard of honour, all the kids waving flags and stuff and the players run out and then they have a TV camera at the end of that watching them. So I'm stood behind the TV camera, so I'm not in the way, but so that I can see the tunnel when the players are coming out, and I'll go, please welcome Northampton Saints. Phil Dowson led out the Northampton Saints team, ran out onto the pitch, and I turned around and I watched him. And I would go into battle behind Phil Dowson. He's so good at being a captain and firing
I
you
bet
up.
He is. Really? I think he's one of the smartest signings.
He had this look in his eyes, and he just looked around, and he just went, and I'm not going to be able to recreate it, but he just went, relentless! We are relentless. Get back up, do it again. Get back up, do it again. Get back up, do it. And the way he said it, and like it was just like the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. It was like, wow, I would go over the top with you. It was amazing.
There will be a bit of a hangover from Saracens because they didn't play well. Like
they didn't have the starters out either. I'm not worried about them.
Do you reckon Saracens will win that?
I think Saracens will win it, but I don't think Northampton's got anything to worry about as such with hangovers and that kind of thing.
But yeah, so you probably have to think Sarri's at home.
Yeah, although I think it'll be very close, maybe 3 points in it,
yeah.
And so it could go either way. And then final game, London Irish Newcastle,
home win
Irish.
Yeah, I fancy them. Newcastle have done nothing to kind of suggest to me that they're going to win the games to make them automatically safe.
Interestingly, as far as I see it, interestingly, when you sort of look at the London Irish team, you think their back line would be the strength. But actually, I think their backs have been the weakness the last month. They haven't clicked from what I've seen. I think the forwards have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Trevor Anus and Cowan.
Second row in the back spot row. On as well.
Yeah. No, it's a good combination. Rouse and Skivington are good.
Yeah.
And David Pace, I would have him on form. I would have David Pace in the England squad. He's injured, so he can't. He's out to the end of the season.
He's got a few England caps as well, hasn't he?
He's got a few England caps, but he's not been involved for a while. But he ball carries like a demon. I put him above Rob Webber and put him into the squad.
Wow, Rob Webber's quality.
No, but on form. Like,
Rob Webber's on great form. Well, actually, I say that. He's not been playing.
He's not been playing because Ross Batty, yeah.
David Pace has been absolutely awesome, I think. But he's injured anyway, so it's irrelevant.
Mm.
But yeah, Irish to win that one. Get in touch and tell us what you reckon. Sorry, I'm just getting a bit tired. You know,
don't worry, Tim.
Did a marathon earlier today.
We've not all... What?
At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, you can get in touch and tell us what you reckon. Suggest your Game of Thrones rugby converts. Suggest your...
Selective breeding.
Selective rugby breeding. Yeah, I want to hear some good ones on that. And say how stupid you think JB's... I mean, tell us what you think about that red card decision...
Please comment on people ruining our great game with a stupid, litigious attitude.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Oh, what about that? Send him off. Send the drinking age off. Get him off the field.
There we go.
Back in the day, you had to do something really bad to get that kind of treatment. Not anymore.
Nice one, JB.
Cheers, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.